You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
The Purple Project Podcast, back on the airwaves once again here in prime time. Eddie Greer III, host of Triple P. We're all about the latest in Kansas State athletics and, of course, what's going on in the community, folks. And this is episode number 8 of the Purple Project Podcast. Of course, yesterday I recorded the breaking news on a separate episode, which will be out on Monday. This episode will be out on Tuesday, so back-to-back doubleheader, back-to-back episodes of the Purple Project Podcast is going down this upcoming week. It's me, the Witch. Let's bring on our co-host of the Purple Project Podcast, none other than AA from San Diego. Alex, what is happening over there?
Not too much, Eddie. So, pretty much, it's a Saturday evening that we're recording this on, so I was sitting and eating my dinner, flipping through channels, thinking, here we are, COVID, nothing on TV, you know, because there's nothing on anymore, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I'm flipping through, and they were doing the MLB Greatest Games, and I was like, oh, great, so what, am I going to eat dinner and watch a 1982 game again? Like, no, I don't want to do that. But it was actually the 2014 Kansas City Royals-Oakland Athletics wildcard game that went 12 innings, and the Royals won it 9-8 on a walk-off. They went on to lose in 7 games in the World Series that year before winning the World Series the year after. But I stumbled upon that, and I was like, oh, there's actually something good on TV. So I watched that before we jumped on this call. Also, as we will get into our show today, a lot going on with K-State, and I think that a lot of people at the administration, in the K-State administration, probably need a drink, quite frankly, a little stiff drink. So, it's a Saturday night, and I opened a bottle of red wine, because I'll be honest, I am a wine fan, especially red wine fan, so I'm taking a drink for them while we record episodes tonight, in honor of them, while we dive into the topic that they're probably drinking over right about now.
Yeah, we definitely need to use this platform to speak on what has been going on. Yeah, okay, so before we get into that, of course, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you find your podcast. Of course, the newest K-State podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, if you're downloading it from there, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. If you would like, that helps us out. Get the show out there to not only the people here in locally here in Manhattan, Kansas, where I live, but all over the U.S. and Spotify, Audio Boom, and have not gotten a chance yet to put all the first 7 episodes on SoundCloud. I'll have to work on that. I've been dealing. I have my hands full today, moving, and Emma. So. But I promise to get that uploaded for you guys. So, yeah, Purple Project Podcast. And don't forget, we just been added on to iHeartRadio as well. So, a lot going on there. Lots going on here in Manhattan. And, yeah, they might need a few more beers or wines to drink, Alex. Because they're in a bind right now, for sure. And I recorded an episode, breaking news, yesterday, so that's going up Monday, so you're gonna have to hear what I have to say about that along with everybody else. But I'm probably gonna add on some more, but I don't want to give that away because I want people to listen. But obviously, the big grill in the room, go right straight to it, and I definitely want to get your thoughts on it. And we've talked about this throughout the existence of this podcast, you know, the whole what's been going on around this world with the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, first started with him and it transitioned into what really I didn't find that out. That happened a couple years ago. It didn't bring up to light and just too recently then Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, which brings up Jaden McNeil, this stupid bleeping person that decided to be one of those guys to go on Twitter. And I'm not going to, like I said yesterday in recording, I'm not going to repeat what he said because that really pissed me off. So, not going to say that. You can find it if you're interested in that and go find it because this is national news, not only just here, but national news. We're talking about Alex. And now we're at a point that obviously, you know, with the peaceful protesting here and all the protesting has been going on about Black Lives Matter, and now it hits close, it hits home. K-State right here in Manhattan, Kansas, that this apparently former president of a school group or whatever it was, white nationalist, whatever you want to call it, goes out, makes this, and calls it a stupid joke. I don't know, I don't understand that, but did the tweet of George Floyd, and then I didn't find this out until this Friday morning when I went on the Twitter about 9 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And then this was alerted to me by a fan. And I said this on the podcast, I'm recording the podcast yesterday. I can't think of his name now. And then I scroll down, Joshua Youngblood, Walter Neal, Tyrone Lewis, a whole slew of them were very upset. And then today, this just carries on. Obviously, Skylar Thompson, the leader, Harry Trotter, Will Howard, a lot of K-State people, K-State football fans, not fans, players, are not very happy. And this is the one thing that's come out of this so far is the coaches for K-State. Chris Klieman has backed his players, Van Malone. They have backed their players 100% through this deal. And K-State, Richard Myers, Gene Taylor, y'all on the clock. Guys, y'all on the clock for this. Because you see what's going on around the world. And now it hits right in your own damn backyard. And I already said this on Twitter today and yesterday. The dude should be expelled from K-State. No doubt about it. If this happened were at Clemson, South Carolina, USC, Notre Dame, Texas, I wouldn't play for the university until the dude or girl, whatever, is punished. Seriously. So I wouldn't go out even as a student. Now throw on top of it, we had this COVID and all this other stuff. Now you throw this on top of it, Alex. This on top of it. You texted me yesterday saying this is a black eye for this university if they were to somewhat keep Jaden McNeil, this idiotic person on this campus. Even as a student, I want to go to K-State because we discussed on throughout this podcast at this point, the whole definition of what family is all about, or K-State is all about family. And yeah, Richard Myers, the president, is on the clock. Gene Taylor and all those guys, I mean, they have the decision. I'd be straight up honest with you, Alex. The straight decision is to kick this guy out of K-State. Otherwise, I mean, the word's already out on online, CBS Sports, ESPN, that K-State is boycotting right now. And you throw this COVID. We already talked about that last couple weeks on this podcast. And I'm sorry I'm ranting, but I have to continue to get it out, but using this platform. But K-State, they need to do the right thing, or they're gonna look pretty stupid.
You know, Eddie, there's so much to this. There's so much to unpack, and so I'm going to try to unpack everything in all of this best I can. And I apologize if I jump a little bit from one point to the other point in advance, just because there's so much there that I'm trying to convey here. But first off, to rewind, hit the rewind button, and go back to yesterday, which will be Friday, to people who are listening when this comes out. So to rewind to Friday, as you know, this tweet came out. It started to begin to circulate on social media among the K-State athletes, and we saw frustration. And then after that, we saw a handful of Black athletes say they're not going to take part in any activities until the student was action taken on a student, and then it got to the point of a policy being put in place at K-State that would expel students who were essentially showing any intentional forms of racism or racial threats or anything like that on campus, at K-State events, including sporting events. And then today, as you mentioned, the entire football team is now boycotting. They came out and they released a statement, and just quickly wanted to read the statement for anybody who hadn't heard it yet. The statement from the football team today, I think it came out 3 or 4 hours ago from when we were recording this. They said to our family at Kansas State, because as you mentioned, Eddie, family is the whole mantra at K-State. Due to the recent disparaging, insensitive, and unsettling comments made by a fellow student, we as a football team, after consultation with students from campus organizations as well as students from the general student body, feel it is best for us to stand with the students. We are demanding that Kansas State put a policy in place that allows a student to be dismissed for displaying openly racist, threatening, or disrespectful action towards a student or groups of students. We have resolved that we cannot play, practice, or meet until we're heard and actions are taken. We love Kansas State, but we must stand together and protect all students from moving forward. And just within the last hour, K-State Athletics has acknowledged, I guess it was actually about 2 hours ago now, but K-State Athletics acknowledged it, and they tweeted out, Kansas State Athletics, along with President Myers and the university leadership, respect and support our student athletes in standing up in the fight against racism. At K-State, we are a family, and we will work together to make our campus community an even better place to call home. So that was their response to that letter. So they really are on the clock, the administration. And President Richard Myers, he put out a statement. I won't read the entire statement. It's relatively long, but people can find it online. And also, I'm with you 100%. No need to reread the tweet. People, it's very easy to find it on social media, and you don't want to give him the attention because, quite frankly, Jaden McNeil, it's clear. I think it's clear for anybody who's on social media, who's following this story, he's in this for one thing. He is in this for attention. I don't even know if he cares if he gets expelled at this point because he's getting the attention that he wants, because this isn't the first time he's done something like this. This is the first time it has caught on and it has caught traction. Apparently, digging into the past, there have been incidents in the past where he's said and done similar polarizing things. And one other note I want to get, want to say before I kind of jump back and give my thought, is I did see K-State mention, first off, K-State is doing an investigation into the student. They did announce that they are investigating into the student.
Right, yeah.
They did also come out and say that he does not represent the university or anything the university stands for, and they condemn everything he did. And so Gene Taylor came out, President Myers came out. Like I said, you can find that President Myers message. And then They also said that student group that he's the president of, which was formerly the president of, I'm not sure at this time, it is a group, it is a K-State group, but it's not affiliated with the university. It was something to do with a lack of member leadership or something, I can't remember, but it didn't meet the criteria, apparently, for a university group. So I know some people were saying, you know, it's a K-State campus group. Well, technically, it's not a K-State, they're not affiliated with the university. But anyway, getting back to the point, I'll get into the details in a minute on kind of the university and what they need to do next. But first, I really want to touch on just the incident and you know, of itself. The tweet was disgusting. I don't know what else to say. In a time where racial awareness, racial I don't even know how the right way to say it, Eddie. Shining a light on the racial injustice issues. And, you know, this is, I have seen more people turning corner. I have seen the culture, really, as a whole, society as a whole, turning a corner more through this movement than I can ever remember in my lifetime from the George Floyd incident. Obviously, there have, you know, been people who tried to, you know, ruin that. But for the most part, I hadn't seen so much movement so quickly from one particular incident. So I was encouraged. I was encouraged by that. And then you have this come up, and it hits close to home. And it's just it's sick and it's disgusting. And I mentioned to you a few episodes back when we were talking about this Black Lives Matter thing, I said it's like, I heard an analogy, and I can't remember who said it, but someone said it's like running a marathon in mud. And then we got into a funny conversation about...
You said that.
Run a marathon in mud. And
then you said that. You told me that. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, I think this is a perfect example of that analogy, because you feel like you're making what, you know, you're making progress, you're making traction in that marathon, and then it's a two-step forward, and then you fall down, and it's three steps back. And while I think we're going in the right direction to bring awareness and to make change, there's a reason this is like running a marathon in mud, and people like Jaden McNeil are, whatever, making it difficult to be able to make progress quickly. So he's obviously in the minority of people who are acting like that, but still it stinks to see it. And man, to see it from the K-State family, that's really the dagger in the heart. Because I was telling when this news came out, I was talking to my mom, actually, and I told her, I said, now my 4 years, I said, I was K-State 4 years, walked on that campus every day for 4 years, I never heard any comments like that from students in my 4 years. Now, I'm not black, and I don't, you know, I wouldn't be the target of comments like that. So that could be part of the reason. But my experiences on campus were the family thing that we talk about. You know, everyone was welcoming. Students wanted to help students. It was a lot of, positive vibes on campus. And I mean, it just did not represent the school that I went to for 4 years. That comment, because now you're right, this turned a national story. And if there's anybody who's thinking, oh, that's what K-State's about, I can tell you right now, for the 4 years that I spent on that university, on that campus, that is not what things are like on that campus. That is a diverse, inclusive school with diverse and inclusive students, and this is one bad apple that, as I told you earlier, yesterday when I texted you, that is a black guy on a great university. It's Eddie, here's an analogy. It's a black guy on a sexy face. How about that? I just can't draw mine. You like that? Case Stace is a sexy face. James McNeil is the black guy in it. So, it really stinks that has, that has happened. The other interesting thing about this is I think athletes are really beginning to understand that they got leverage right now. They've got more leverage right now than they have ever had before because of this movement that is going on, and they hold more power.
They're taking advantage of it. Yep.
Yeah, you've seen it, and so these players know that, hey, we have got an opportunity to make changes that we may not be able to make under regular circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we come together, then we can do this, and we can force change. We've got the platform right now. We've got the leverage right now. We've got the momentum right now. Let's go forward and let's make change. Now, I'm not saying that they wouldn't do this if it was a regular, just a regular Tuesday in a regular summer with nothing going on. But the fact of the matter is, Jaden McNeil has made comments and things, has said things like this before, and they haven't gotten traction, and they haven't been seen. And, you know, part of that's because there weren't movements going on. People weren't going out looking for that stuff. They see it now. The team's rallying around it. And I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it on here. I stand with the athletes. I stand next to them, and I stand with them, and I support them in their decision. I support the black athletes who say we're not participating until there's change. I support the football team saying we're not participating until there is change. It scares me because I want football.
They're already sitting out anyway. They're already sitting out anyway because of COVID.
So now you've got two hurdles that could possibly football season. But there are things, you know, that are bigger than football. And I support what they are, what they're doing, and what they're standing up for. And because that's not what K-State's about. That's why I will stand next to them and say, I am with you. And you know what? Almost the entire K-State family, because it is a family, and I'm going to continue to call it that. Almost the entire K-State family has done that. That doesn't represent who we are. We stand with you. You don't want to play, we're with you. And I think that says more about the K-State family than what some idiot had to say on Twitter, who is now doubling down on what he said. Anybody who's checked his Twitter out, so he clearly holds no remorse for what he said.
Jeez.
You know, that says more about the family. And you know, it hurts the players. You know, I don't think people understand, like, this is something I can't even articulate it, Eddie. It's just so frustrating. I don't even know what else to say. It's just so frustrating that has to come out, and it has to be a student at K-State has to do something so stupid and then put the university in the position that they're in, the students the position that they're in. It's a bad situation for everybody. And then now you get into a position where I stand 100% with the students and with the student athletes and what they're doing, it's tough for the university because you look at the student and I'm with you. You know, in my heart, I'm like, that guy, he should absolutely be expelled. This policy should absolutely be pushed through. Then the reporter hat comes on me from my days when I was a reporter and covered education beats and political beats and city beats and all these different beats that got into a bunch of legalities. I've covered a crime beat. And I put that hat on and I'm like, oh my God, well, what can K-State do? Because it was on a private Twitter and it wasn't the Twitter wasn't affiliated with K-State. It didn't happen on K-State property, and he wasn't on campus. The group isn't technically affiliated with K-State, and so I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, they can expel him, but then who knows legally what even happens to the university at that point? And then when you get this policy in place, who knows if the Kansas Board of Regents has to get involved, and then that's beyond K-State, and then next thing you know, you got state government that's jumping in with this policy, and there's no way that a policy, top policies just aren't implemented overnight. You know, those take time, and there's so many different layers to it, processes to it. And so, well, I think that K-State, I really believe that K-State administration wants to make the changes and implement what these players want. This is so much bigger than saying, you know what, yep, we're good, you know. But yeah, you're right. Well, we'll expel them and we'll pass this policy. But I wish it was that easy. I really do. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's way more complicated than that. And now the K-State administration sitting in this situation thinking, oh my gosh, like, so much of this stuff may not even be in our control, and now we've got to get our lawyers involved and see, well, what can we even do from a legal perspective, and you know what type of Pandora's box should we open up? We start expelling people on tweets that they make, and so you know it gets to a really, really sticky situation. That's why I said they're probably having a drink right now to try to get over this, because this is a really bad situation for them to be in. You're right. It is absolutely in their court, and they're clearly making statements trying to say they condemn it, probably because that's all they can do at the moment. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because you're right. They could say, you know what? We don't care. We may face backlash. We may face lawsuits. We may find ourselves in a bunch of legal hot water, but you know what? This is what our student athletes want. This is what our football teams want. We believe this is right, the right thing to do, and we will handle all that legal stuff when it comes, but we are going to expel the student, and we're going to make a commitment to put a policy in place that the students mention. So they may do that. They very well may say, you know what? We're doing that. And if they do, that'll be the first university in the country to make such drastic actions towards this. So, I mean, obviously that would be, you would think, a good look for K-State and that PR from a public relations standpoint. And also not just that, but the university being what it is, that you and I know it is, a diverse and inclusive university. And so they may do that, or they may, you know, follow this process and say, you know what, we can't let our emotions get the best of us. We've got to be smart. We can't get ourselves in all this hot and sticky water and deal with that. So there's just so much to it, so much to unpack. But I think the biggest thing for me and the biggest takeaway that I want people to understand from this is that stuff will work itself out. You know, the administration, that's part of their job, you know, to deal with that stuff. I'm sure that's not one part of the job, but it is part of their job to deal with things like this. So the ball's in their court. You're right. And we'll see what they do. The big thing for me is to make sure people know this idiot, Jaden McNeil, a faceless idiot, just call it what it is, who's hiding behind his Twitter, because he would never say that to somebody's face, because he's a coward who doesn't have the guts to do it, you know, hide behind your desk on social media and make those comments, of course. So that faceless idiot saying that does not represent this university. Want people to understand that is not the university that I went to. That is not what K-State is about. As an alumni, I can stand up and say that. And I also want people to know that I stand with the players, I support the players in their efforts, and a vast majority. I don't even know if I've seen a K-State student come out and say they haven't, to be 100% honest. I don't know if I've talked with anybody or seen anyone who went to K-State or was a K-State fan who said, "What are they doing? Like, come on, man, just play football." I haven't heard that from anyone. So the K-State family is behind them, and there's no place for it. There's just no place for it. There's absolutely no place for it. And I know that's something that you're passionate about. It's something that I'm passionate about. And I think we're both passionate. You know, we have our reasons for being passionate about it. But you know what? Just to make it real simple before I toss it back to you. Hey, when I was growing up, you know, it wasn't hard. You know, you're taught. I was taught what's right and what's wrong. You know, what's the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? Treat people the way that you want to be treated. You know, I mean, what happened to that? Like, what happened to, you know, treat someone else the way that you'd want to be treated. Do the right thing. Right versus wrong. This is confusing. This isn't rocket science. You know what I mean? It is not rocket science. It's right versus wrong. What he did was wrong. You know, stand up for what is right and treat people the way that you'd want to be treated. I don't understand why this is so confusing. And it's just frustrating that there's Jaden McNeils out there. And it's frustrating it has to get to a point where, you know, an athletic team and student athletes have to, you know, take a stand like this. The fact that 2020 that we're having to, you know, the student athletes are having to do that and K-State's having to deal with this because of an idiot. It's just frustrating. It's just frustrating, and you know, we'll see what happens. And I really feel bad for the student athletes, and I feel bad for the administration because they're put in a bind. So you know, we'll see what happens. But it's frustrating. And I will say this: the final thought I had when this news came out is, boy, Eddie picked quite the time to start a podcast. With COVID, and then this comes out. We're facing some stuff that we've never faced with the K-State athletes or K-State athletics, excuse me. Dealing with this COVID and dealing with what's going on with and what has gone on around this racial injustice discussion that has stemmed since George Floyd. So. You know, the crazy times continue, and this is a story that has got a ton of national attention now. You mentioned it. We're just going to have to see what happens. I'm sure that there's going to be new stuff out every single day in regards to this. And there is one thing I know, though. There is one thing I know, and I made this clear to somebody else earlier today. K-State, and I think you and I probably agree on this, I cannot see any scenario where the K-State administration is willing to let their football team not play because of a student's tweet. I can't see that. I cannot see that happening, and that's why, you know, I just can't see it. I mean, I really can't see them saying, you know what, we're not gonna, you know, we're gonna let the football players not play, and you know, we're gonna back that. You're right. If it was USC, if it was Clemson, you're right. They'd be like, get them out of there. I mean, you know. Our football team is bigger now. We're not losing them. We're not losing anything because of some stupid guy. You know, our football program brings in millions and millions and millions of dollars. We're not putting those millions on the line for this. We're competing for national championships. And so, obviously, K-State's not the powerhouse that they are either, that those schools are. But I would assume that K-State would be in the same boat, but they're probably going to say, one, that's wrong, and we're not going to stand for it. That's not what we're about. And two, we're not going to lose millions of dollars because of Jaden McNeil. But the biggest thing with me saying that, because I don't want to sound insensitive, is it is bigger than that. That's just an extra nugget to it. I have a hard time believing that they would be okay with the football. You know, would. And when I say allow the football team to boycott, I'm essentially saying take action. I have a hard time seeing them not taking some sort of action to make to appease the football team and what they're asking. Because, one, it's the right thing to do. And two, there's literally millions of dollars on the line. So, you know. But, That's a lot. That's pretty much what I got. That's a lot, most of what I got on that, Eddie. But it's gonna continue. It's gonna continue this story, and you know we'll continue to follow it. And man, there's a lot of things around football right now. There are a lot of things around football right now. We gotta
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, there is. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden before the Purple Project Podcast. They started early. Yeah, I'm exhausted, but yeah. I guess I did pick the right time to start a podcast, particularly about K-State, what's going on right now. Yeah, you've unpacked it a ton there. don't have much time.
I was like, here you go. Here's everything on one little big platter.
Yeah, like a big entree right there. But yeah, so okay, so I will tie it in the bow in a second here. But I just want to get this quote in here from Joshua Youngblood, who's been very active on the social front until the last tweet he tweeted out this morning that he's not gonna say nothing until action is taken. He said 23 out in his latest Twitter post. But to our family at K-State, due to the recent disparaging, insensitive, and unsettling comments made by a fellow student, we as a football team, after consultation with students from campus organizations as well as students from the general student body, feel it's best for us to stand with the students. We are demanding that Kansas State University put a policy in place, that's what you just said, Alex, that allows a student to be dismissed for displaying openly racist, threatening, or disrespectful action toward a student or groups of students. We have resolved that we cannot play, practice, or meet until these demands are heard and actions taken. We love Kansas State, but we must stand together and protect all students moving forward. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, not just the football team, but I'll bounce back to them in just a second to kind of put a bow to this. But not only just them, there's other athletes, K-State athletes, taking some action too. Antonio Gordon saying he ain't playing. The men's basketball team, Dejuan Gordon, said he ain't coming back until something's made done. Chrissy Carr gave her a shout out on the podcast a couple weeks ago. She's been a huge advocate for the movement here locally in town for K-State basketball player, current. She said there was a post shared by not only her, but our teammate Ioka Lee, who was very dominant during her freshman year last year. I want to touch on women's basketball before we close this thing down here tonight. But that's kind of a perfect transition. But yeah, so not only is the football players doing it, but the basketball players are starting to do it as well. Pretty much everybody's getting in on the act here. And to what, kind of a final thought to what you said, Alex, about one little comment not affecting a football season. Well, you know, you already got this. This is the year of 2020, where weird shit has happened. The COVID-19, and we're bringing up stuff from way back with racism, and now you have this in your own backyard. Nothing. I mean, that, I want to say that one surprised me, but I mean, still, I'm not saying that. We're a few months out still, but the football team's already not practicing due to 14 players being testing positive for COVID. That's been well said on the podcast. All right, and yes, there's millions of dollars on the line. That's for damn sure. Because football is the moneymaker. We talked about this, Alex. We talked about this. And so, I mean, they're already not practicing, so they're taking, like we said, taking full advantage of this time to do what they need to do, what's necessary to try to keep this thing moving forward and not taking three steps back. So yeah, there's through this McNeil statement, this crazy ass statement to COVID. Yeah, there's a lot of millions of dollars at stake for not only just for football, because we're coming off a great season in football, and you got your All-American kick returner Joshua Youngblood leading the charge there in this thing. 8-5 last year, of course, with a disappointing loss at Navy. And he has some momentum there. And coming into this year, there's some talk again around K-State football. You got your starting quarterback back, Skylar Thompson. Again, we'll have a lot more to talk about football here in the upcoming weeks. And now you have this situation. And I'm not saying I'm worried yet. I'm not even worried about that. But we'll monitor this for sure as June is about to come to a close. Record this on the last Saturday in June. June 27th, 2020. And we're just going to have to keep an eye out. Well, we'll definitely keep a close eye on this, because I'm definitely going to be sitting back and seeing what the university does. Richard Myers, the president of the university, and these administration people do, because that's kind of a summarized whole deal, at least from my side. So
yeah, and quickly, Eddie, too, I thought to put a bow, I know you said just put a bow on it, I guess I'll put a bow on top of your bow real quick, but Tyler Drilling, who used to be a K-State reporter, actually no longer is, but he put a couple of thoughts that I thought was actually pretty insightful around this. He said that K-State has an opportunity to, obviously unite behind what has happened. And he pretty much said, kicking Jaden McNeil out may result in multiple expensive and high-profile lawsuits, which is what I told you. And he could, that could happen. But he said at the same time, regardless of this, whatever decision is made is going to cost money, and it's going to cost backlash. So regardless of what happens, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cause you backlash. So you may as well do the one that removes racism from campus. And I think that's a good point that he made, because it's true. If you do look at this, either way, you're going to get backlash, and either way, you're going to lose a lot of money, either in lawsuits or a football team not playing. So unless you end up having not having a football season because of COVID, but then you put this in and now you lost money for football and then from lawsuits, that would not be good. But moral of the story, they are going to lose money, have backlash either way. So you may as well eliminate racism from the campus if you're going to make a decision that's going to polarize someone. And this isn't some school that's like UC Berkeley or NYU. I mean, this is K-State, an ag school in the middle of Kansas with a president who served on the Bush administration. So it's not like that. If for K-State to be the school taking the lead on it would be something that would be, I would think, very good for the university. I would think that would set a great example of what K-State's about as a university. So, it's really an opportunity for them to kind of, as Tyler put, carry that torch for racial justice, and the efforts could really ripple around the nation. And then the final thing he said is true, is this student won either way, because even if he's expelled, he's got the attention, he's got the notoriety, he's got the follows, he's got all of that, and he called him McNumbnuts. So maybe we should just refer to him to McNumbnuts from now on.
Yeah, that's a good way to cap off that discussion, at least for right now here in the podcast. So, yeah, there is that. So, kind of a weird transition from that to... I've been teasing this for the last couple of episodes, but there's been so much going on.
Breaking news every week.
Yeah, which has been actually kind of good. Of course, I started the podcast at the right time. But yeah, we have breaking news each and every episode, of course. Purple Project Podcast, all about the latest in Kansas State athletics and then what's going on in the community. I record an episode of breaking news about this topic yesterday, which will be posted on Monday. Our deal, as usual, will be posted on Tuesday. So we got two episodes this week. And finally now, I know you guys have been waiting on this since I've been teasing it for the last, few episodes now. I'm going to talk just slightly a little bit about on women's K-State women's basketball, who finished in fifth place in the conference last year with 10-8 record. Overall record was 16-13. Jeff Mayda, head coach of the women's program, recently got an extension. I think it was last year he got an extension. But, yeah. So, Jeff Mayda has done his work there. And, of course, you know, going back to, I just had it up here on my screen. Oh, there it is. So, yeah. So, the play last year, and we'll have more discussions on basketball again down the road on the Purple Project podcast. But Peyton Williams, who's been she's one of the other student athletes to come out of her own shell and to speak out about Black Lives Matter, was terrific on the court and off the court. And then you have Ayoka Lee, who I just mentioned, who also is standing up for Black Lives Matter. Had a tremendous freshman year. She played in all 29 games here. Averaged 15 a game. Her and Peyton Williams, what a front court that Jeff Mayda possessed last year. And then you turn around, of course, Rachel Rinke had injury issues. She was out for the rest of the year. Don't know exactly what happened to her. And then Chrissy Carr, who we've been talking about on this podcast for the last couple weeks, had an outstanding freshman season, but had an up and down sophomore year. And we all know she can speak, and she's not afraid to speak now. We all know that, so... And she got recruited right here in Manhattan. She went to Manhattan High. It was highly recruited. So, and I have not looked at the and there was one transfer that is coming to one's basketball team. If there is a basketball season, I feel like we've been saying that a lot on this podcast, but we have to. So there's a transfer from Texas Tech that's coming to K-State or is already in Manhattan. Depending on the situation. I don't have the information in front of me right now. Just a recap of what happened last year. We will get into all that down in future episodes. But yeah, 16-13, Alex finished fifth in the Big 12. Of course, behind the dominant Baylor Bears, TCU, Texas. And actually, there was a tie for fourth between us and Iowa State in the mix there. And then after that, it just drops off from West Virginia, Texas Tech, which one of the transfers to our squad now, they both finished 7-11. Oklahoma State Cowgirls, 6-12. Oklahoma Sooners, 5-13. And Kansas Jayhawks, there with a sorry record of 4-14. Yes, it is late. It is late here in the Purple Project podcast. We usually record it in the afternoon, but yeah, I'm being a little silly, right? And don't worry, I have not had a drink, so you don't have a concern about that. I get to a point where I laugh a lot when I'm very exhausted. So,
bored. Eddie, you're not taking my drink through the phone? My goodness.
Yeah. So, but yeah, K-State. I think Jeff Mayda's done a fantastic job with this program so far. And yes, they've had a couple NCAA NCAA appearances, and they're in the midst of COVID. They're going to play the Big 12 tournament, and then all of a sudden, everything just stops there. So, Alex, what are your thoughts from the past year from K-State basketball? Can they, I mean, I have not looked at the recruiting yet, which I'll need to do that, but can K-State take their game to the next level? Obviously, though, they had a monster front court there with Peyton Williams and Ayoko Lee, who was an absolute beast. So just talk about a little bit what your thoughts are about this Lady basketball team.
Yeah, you know, I quickly, you mentioned Jeff Mitty. I want to just kind of rewind, and I'm doing a lot of rewinding in this episode, but I'm want to rewind to when Jeff Mitty was hired. I was actually at his introductory press conference. I was covering it. I can't remember if I was covering it for 91.9 or if I was covering it for Channel 8 News, but I was covering it for something. And so I was there, and went at his introductory news conference as a with the media. And I remember thinking in that first press conference, "Man, this is going to be a good coach. Like, this is going to be a good coach." He, you know, he really left an impression on me. And then I started calling some of the. His games for 91.9 in his first and second years there. And you could see the basketball teams getting better under him. And you could see some of his recruiting classes coming in. And I just got more and more impressed with him. And he's continued that on. And he's done a really, really good job with them, really picking up where Deb Patterson left off with the program. So, you know, he's done a really good job, and we want to give him the kudos for that. Last year, they had a nice year. Now, I think Jeff Mitty may have been hoping for something, you know, a little bit better. You know, the year prior, they won over 20 games and, you know, made an NCAA tournament appearance. But, you know, they lost some pieces from that team, and they still bounced back and had a winning record and finished middle of the pack in the Big 12. And they had some young players. They obviously had some seniors in there too, but they had a lot of young players. And they did kind of what I thought K-State men's team would do with some of their young players. I thought that they may kind of have a season similar to what the K-State women's team did. That did not happen. Jeff Mitty did hold his end of the bargain up on that and was able to have that middle of the road year and kind of what you could maybe call a transition year. But you're right. You look at someone like Koya Lee, who averaged over 15 points a game, I believe it was. I think it was 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 15. Yep. 15 a game. Yeah, 15
a freshman? Like, well, buckle up, guys, because we got a player right there. So she was dominant. We've talked about Christiana Carr, and she had a really nice season. She averaged about 10 a game, and you know, played 29 games, played really good, you know, and still has multiple years left as well. And you just look across the roster and look at what's coming back, and you look at some of these players who are going to have another year of experience going in. And I'll dive into that a little bit, maybe a little later, but getting back to last year, I thought they did do a lot of nice things. You know, and it's kind of a shame with the NCAA tournament, the Big 12 tournament, getting canceled. Yeah, I kind of felt like K-State could have actually made some noise there, the women's team. I really felt like they could have strung some games off and won a couple games there. And not saying that they would have gone in and won it, because you talked about it. You got your juggernauts at the top and you know, of the Big 12, like Baylor. And I'm not sure K-State could have beaten the likes of a Baylor in the tournament, but I think that they could have had a nice Big 12 tournament. I think they could have rattled off an upset or two there near the end if things broke right for them. And so that was kind of a bummer to see. And but you did, you had a lot of good seasons. Peyton Williams, we've talked about Peyton on the show. She's a tremendous athlete, tremendous person. And I think the great thing about Jeff Mebby's teams is it seems like they get better, Eddie. They get better as the season goes on. They get better as the players get, you know, the older they get, the more they become, you know, by the time they're upperclassmen, they're developed. And, you know, that's the way to build a winning program and a winning and a winning culture, ultimately, within your program. So I think this season, while they only won 16 games, looking at what they did, what you could possibly consider a transition year, speaks to that culture. And I think it's just another, you know, kind of another brick on the foundation that, that Jeff Mitty, for the big old house that Jeff Mitty's building, because you were able to develop a lot of young players this season that are going to be able to take that next step next year. I mean, my gosh, what's Akoya Lee going to do next year, Eddie? You know, now, disclaimer, we've been putting this disclaimer in everything. Who knows what COVID does to all this? That's going to affect practices. That's going to affect meetings. That could stunt development. We've been honest about that before. That could absolutely stunt development of teams. We talked about it with the basketball team, the men's basketball team, the most, because there's so many young players there. But, you know, you could see that same effect here, too. But I'm not quite as worried about it here, because I really think that these players have been working hard, putting the time in the offseason to do that. But I really do think that they built a nice foundation for future years with last season. And, you know, like I said, we talked about Akoya Lee and Christiana Parks. I think that those are two players that are going to play an integral role in what K-State does. But, look, I mean, what happened to Rachel Franke, only 8 games, that was a bummer to see. But, you know, she actually bounced back, you know. And, we talked about, we always talk about the good season that that Peyton Williams had as a senior, and also kind of helping guide these young players. But how about Angela Harris? You know, the season that she had, averaging over 11 a game, and also helping bring some of the younger players along. So I thought that there was a lot of really good things that happened from last year's season. They were able to get the young players that taste of winning. We were able to really develop them and get, kind of set them up for success in the future. And then the seniors did some really nice things for the team and kind of left their mark on the program. Kind of in the way that we were hoping maybe Xavier Sneed would. And I do think Xavier Sneed did on the men's side leave that mark. It's just others didn't things didn't fall in place in other spots. But overall, I don't think that you can be upset with the season that they had. I thought Jeff Mitty did a nice job. Obviously, they left some games out on the court. I'll be honest. You know, if they were a little inconsistent. If they could have been more consistent last year, Eddie, they could have had a chance to my opinion, push to kind of have a similar season that they had the year prior. Or they could have wanted to be around 20 games. Maybe been anywhere from like an 8-10 seed in the women's tournament. Granted, there was moot points. There wasn't a women's tournament, but if there was, I think that they could have done that. They were too inconsistent. They left some games out there, but at the same time, they had some good moments and they had some good wins too. And so they really used the season, like I said, as a building block. And I think that next year you're going to, in my opinion, I could be wrong, but next year I think that you may see K-State shoot back up to what we saw. That's kind of been what happened with Jeff Mitty too. He almost, in some of his years past, he'll have a transition year, you know, he'll have a season that's almost like NIT worthy or WNIT worthy. And then the next year, you see K-State shoot up and win that 20-plus games, finish top four of the Big 12. And then they're in the NCAA tournament, and then they win, maybe they win a game or two in it, too. And then he may lose some players, and then WNIT type team again, and then boom, they shoot back up. And they're in the tournament again. I've seen that a couple times. And I think that we could see that again here. You know, K-State was on track to maybe be a WNIT type of team, and I think the next year we could see them shoot up, win 20-plus games, and be right back in the women's tournament. So, you know, I'm excited about the future. There's no doubt about it. They got a ton of good young players. K-State basketball, man, men's and women's, there's a lot of good young players. But what Akoya Lee did, just getting back to her real quick, what she did her freshman year with K-State was what we were hoping to see from Dejuan Gordon or Montavious Murphy or Antonio Gordon, mostly Dejuan Gordon. And I'm not hating on any of them, but we were hoping that one of those freshmen would pop and develop like that. We didn't see it. K-State women's basketball did see it with Akoya Lee, and that's huge for them. You're going to have 3 years being able to ride her. It's going to be huge. And she's just going to keep getting better and better. And I think that's what's most exciting. And you look at this team, you know, I don't know if there's any way to break this out on a stat sheet or not, but to see what the average age is of that team last year. But that was a young, like I said, there were a couple seniors in there, but that was a lot of underclassmen made some big time contributions. And so, you know, it'll be encouraging to see what they do. And then looking back at it, I mean, man, I mean, they have areas to improve, but, you know, they definitely showed promise, especially on the offensive end. They have what? Like five players to average 10 points a game, average double digits, or nearly five. I mean, that's a lot of parity. I mean, that's how you build a team. You know, you get an Akoya Lee who can come in and who can be your workhorse, and then you put some nice complementary pieces around. And if you can get Akoya Lee averaging a ton of game, and then you can get three or four others that are putting in double digits a game, that's the formula for a winning team. You know, that's the formula for success. And so I really, you know, I'm excited for what could come for them in the future.
Yeah, that's a lot again to unpack, but I'm running out of time. So, yeah.
Eddie, I'm just giving you entrees upon entrees upon entrees of stuff to work with over here.
Yeah, I have to listen to this episode again, and yeah, we'll definitely talk more, and that's an interesting comparison that you compared Lee to the expectations of really Dejuan Gordon and Montavious Murphy. I can get into all that, but running out of time, but yeah, that was interesting there. But I want to give a couple of shout-outs here to kind of put a pin on this episode because my recorder is running out of time. So, all right, so Angela Harris, who transferred to K-State, shout out, who is a senior, did work at the point guard, and you already mentioned it, averaged over 10 a game. Oh, man, I can't find it right now, but it was over 10 a game. Jayshawn Beard, who was a good starter, and was one of those players that was, you can put her in a starting lineup or have her come off the bench first, and she would give you that energy. So I wanted to give those two girls a shout out. I know we talked about Lee Williams and Carl on this podcast, but Angela Harris, shout out. And she really took on that point guard role, and she's Sean Beard. So I wanted to get that in here before we put a pin on things here. So
absolutely. She Angela Harris was integral. I'm really glad that you brought up Jason Beard because she was a spark plug. You know when each team, all the great teams, I'm not in this case it's almost a great team, but all great teams, all good teams, all successful teams, they have that that kind of, you know, that jack of all trades player, that player that is kind of the spark plug that gets everybody else going, that can do a little bit of everything, that can, you know, make the hustle play. Like I said, is really the spark plug that can get everybody going. It seemed like she could play that role really well. And it seems like every year Jeff Mitty's got a player on his team that can do that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who kind of can play that role. You look at it on a stats sheet and think, there's nothing too terribly impressive about that. Well, she's one of those players that her play speaks much louder than the stats sheet shows. And that's a very important role. And it's going to be really interesting to see who kind of takes on that role this upcoming year.
That is for sure. Yep. And then one final shout out here before we close things down. Going back to what we talked about for the last two episodes, again, back-to-back episodes of the Purple Project Podcast, y'all, will be going up Monday and Tuesday, so be out on the lookout for that as we put a close recording this episode here in prime time, late Saturday night, as it's 10:20 over here, so, and my recorder is about to run out. But anyways, Jonathan Alexander, just came across this on the ESPN app, started in the movement, and he's been part of the quiet, peaceful protest, Team Town. Want to give him a shout out on the podcast for doing what he's been doing as well. And then also, another positive thing to close it out, give a shout out to Van Malone. I praised him on his podcast early on, and Alex, he followed me back on Twitter.
That's because Van's a beast, Eddie. Van is the man. Man, I just oh, why have I never thought of that? I never even thought that right. Van really was the man. He plays a huge role on this team. We talked about him when we were breaking down Klanderman and Van Malone and what they were gonna do on the defensive side of the ball from a coaching aspect. But well, you want to talk about a leader. He's a leader and the players love him. And the fans love him, and it seems like he's one of those guys that the way he leads, you just want to follow him. You want to follow his lead, and you can't say enough about him and the job he does, not just as a coach, but the job that he does in the community, representing the university, standing up for the university, standing up for his players. It's just a great thing to see.
All right. And that is a good way to wrap this another jam-packed episode of the Purple Project Podcast. Alex, where can everybody find you?
On they social. Can find me on Twitter at AFACHTEN. Once again, that's AFACHTEN. That's the personal Twitter. They can also find me on my professional Twitter at Alex_ITRC. You can see a little more of my work there. More of the personal takes will be on the personal Twitter. And Eddie, right as I say that, I am retweeting a tweet of Shaq where he's playing Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, and horse, and he ripped the rim off in a dunk. So if anybody wants that highlight, they can go to my Twitter because I just retweeted it.
Oh, Shaq versus Gronk. Wow.
Yeah, Shaq versus Gronk and horse. I don't know who won. Now I'm going to have to go back and watch, But yeah, Shaq just ripped the rim off in a pretty nice dunk where he threw the ball off the backboard and slammed it down one hand. And he literally grabbed the rim and threw it down like I would throw down a piece of paper. It's just unbelievable. He is something else.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Eddie_EG3. Again, at Eddie_EG3 is my Twitter handle. And again, the Promo Project Podcast, if you're looking for more good K-State content, find it on Spotify, Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and soon, SoundCloud. So all those outlets right there for the Promo Project Podcast. We will definitely keep close eye on what the university does with the situation that we have on hand with the football team. We'll see what happens there. And we'll definitely continue to break that down. And then next time on the podcast, we will talk more K-State football on the field with the running back. So, Alex, we'll do this again next week, folks.
Good talking to you, Eddie. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden saying so long for the Purple Project Podcast. Again, thank you again. Back-to-back episodes coming this week on Triple P, the Purple Project Podcast. But until then, we're out. And again, here coding them cats right here. Thanks for listening, everybody.
You on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.